This episode is brought to you by Shopify. With Shopify, 2026 is the year you make it happen. It gives you the tools to build your dream store, online and in person. Plus, with marketing built in, it'll help you reach exactly who you need to. Join the millions who've already made the leap, like Gymshark and Allbirds. And ring in the new year with Shopify. Sign up for your £1 per month trial at shopify.co.uk/Spotify.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Hope you're having a great week. Looking forward to a great weekend. Today is an ALN classic episode. That's right, we're throwing it back to the old days of the podcast. We had some bangers, some hitters, some legends come through the show, so we thought we'd dig deep and throw it back to some of those insane, hilarious, fun episodes. So enjoy the hell out of this episode. Of course, follow the podcast at ALN Podcast on Instagram and Twitter, at Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Enjoy the episode. Enjoy your week.
Hey, it's Herbert. And you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
Man, that's that sweet Australian connection, huh?
50 minutes.
Jesus. Oh, man, now it's...
Is it bad? They can't put you in quarantine and give you bad Wi-Fi. That's just...
I mean, yeah, that those two things should not go together. Yeah, I can't even see you.
What?
Unless this is how you do podcasts now. You're like, look, you can get my audio. You have to pay for the video. This is my equivalent of an OnlyFans account.
I should do that. Thank you.
Hey, save it for the pod. Wait a sec. It says recording. I can't even see you right now. Oh my God.
Take your time.
All right.
It's over here. Did you see that Kim Kardashian tweet where it was like, after a few weeks of multiple health concerns, I took my family to a private island to have some normalcy. Did you see that?
Oh, God.
And then she posts these, like, I mean, epic pictures. It's like them all dolled up on this, like, did you see it?
I did see a buddy of mine repost. I think it was like a Foursquare shot of her in like four different bikinis. And yes. And she said, like, this is 40. And he said, and he reposted it and put, this is 40 plastic surgeries or something.
So, like, the whole world of Twitter has now stolen that line. After 2 weeks of multiple health concerns and asking everyone to quarantine, I surprised my closest inner circle. But then they're putting these, like, hilarious pictures. Like, one of them is Lord of the Rings. Like, cartoons. It's just, you have to go. It's funny.
You love, you love your memes.
I do love a good meme.
All right, we're good now. Hey, can I really quick, first of all, great to see you. Dope shirt. What do you think is more on point? Sue Bird's shirt game or Sue Bird's shoe game? And sorry to come right in with the heavy, but, you know, coming in hot, but
I think the shirts are like underrated. Shoes are loud. Shirts are underrated. I mean, I see yours.
Yeah.
Is Summer Sanders going to pop in or?
Oh man. Good call. Can we get her on the line? I think the shoe, I didn't become a, I guess, I don't even, wouldn't even consider myself a sneakerhead, but a shoe appreciator, right? Until probably 5 years ago. And you would be like, but Adam, weren't you rocking the Patrick Ewings in 1993 with the Velcro strap that just said Ewing on the back? That was the first basketball shoe I got. And I was like,
did you leave the tag on?
No, I mean.
Oh, see, you're from the West Coast.
Yeah.
If you lived in New York, that tag would have been on. You never would have taken it off. Yeah, it's a thing.
Why? Is that, that's like with hats too, right? Like when guys leave the stickers.
It was.
Why? What was that? What was the point of that?
I don't know. It was definitely a hat thing. Definitely a shoe thing. Yeah, where people would like, like Tim, sometimes you would leave the little flappy thing on.
See,
definitely the Ewings. I have like a vivid memory of the Ewings.
Yeah, they were. And also, what a bold move just to be like, look, the shoe is going to be a shoe. It's going to be black. Everyone's like, what does it look like? He's like, a shoe, man. It's got my name on the back. There's laces because it's a shoe. So, which is probably why it didn't sell, you know, millions of copies. Here's why I could never leave tags on anything. You know, I grew up with a Jewish mother that if there was a tag sticking out of a shirt, I mean, and I'm going to school like that, she's driving to school, coming into class, ripping the tag off, making sure my lunch is still in my backpack, and then leaving.
No wire hanger. That's just what I'm replaying in my mind.
Oh my God.
You got a Mommy Dearest on your hands. We used to call my mom Mommy Dearest. She really hated it.
What's your mom's name again?
Nancy.
Nancy.
Not Jewish, but she thinks she is.
Whoa. Wait, yeah. So where does the Jew? Because I was about to say, okay.
I know. It's
because I was about to say, you're the most.
There's some gray area in there. It's my dad's side of the family.
Look, when we do Hanukkah, I get to light one side of the menorah and they just kind of chalk it up as that. Wait, okay, yeah. So, because I was going to say, you're probably the most famous Jewish basketball player in Seattle right now.
In Seattle? Definitely. Yeah. No one else. Yeah, my dad's Jewish. My mom's not, but she thinks she is. A lot of oy veys.
Oh my God. She's, because what? Just from being around your dad, and she'll adhere to the traditions and whatnot, but
yeah.
She must just love, does she already like, you know, embody Jewish mom characteristics? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a bad thing.
No, it's not. It's actually really good material.
Yeah.
I know.
Shit. Now that you got so much time off, well, I guess, I don't know. Is the season, does it have a exact start date yet or no?
No, I mean, it'll all be COVID pending.
And that's kind of
pulled it off, and now it's like back on that track. So, like,
by the way, pulled it off, and I mean, I know, and that's why when I texted you, I was like, I know you've done, you know, 100,000 interviews to soak it in, but holy shit, like, just took care of business. I mean, it was like at the end, I was like, what is it like to just know that you've won, and you're just kind of hanging out for a quarter and some change, right? Yeah, just kind of being like, I mean, it's not any less celebratory, is it? No.
No. It doesn't, what I'll say is, there's like a delayed hit. Like it doesn't, because I've been in, you know, some games where it's been like, not legit last second, but like the last minute. So there's like, and then the buzzer goes off and there's like a huge, like, you know, like you're basically shouting because it's relief.
Yes.
You're like, oh my God. This was kind of like, it wasn't until maybe a week later I was like, oh shit, we won that.
Oh wow, for real?
In the moment, don't get me wrong, you party, you do the
deal. Yeah.
In the moment, you're like, you're happy, but there's not this like moment.
Right.
Yeah.
Weird. So incredible, by the way. I mean, I just have to say, it's just bonkers to me, and I'm sure you have so much reflectiveness going on. Like, because when we first podcasted at that little recording studio in Seattle downtown, you were like had just finished your rehab, or were like maybe a month or so into being done with it.
Yeah.
That was like February or something. No, it was. Yeah.
I don't remember.
It was
cold.
I can check. It was cold. Yeah. It was hoodie. It was Seattle hoodie weather. I think it was February or April. And you were getting ready. All I remember is you were getting ready to do these tournaments. Like in Stanford or something,
So it would have been, it would have been probably closer to February.
Okay. So.
Yeah. Oh, you said Stanford? That might have been November.
Maybe it was not. Yeah.
Okay.
There was some sort of like championship turn or like the Nationals.
The national team.
That's what you said it was. Okay. But you would think not smoking pot in 2 weeks of quarantine would help my memory, but I think it's only made it worse.
You didn't get a plug out there?
I mean, look, I thought about bringing gummies, and Miles Teller was on my flight, and the actor, and everyone passed out, and we were drinking in business class and finally got kicked out because we were waking people up, I guess. And Miles stumbled into the door that like opens the plane. So she was like, hey, you guys mind sitting down? And we were like, all good. He told me he had some edibles and the dog was sniffing his bag hardcore, and he was getting so worried. But I was like, I don't think they can bust you for edibles. And also, I don't think it's,
but yeah,
I thought, so that just went through my head as far as like getting in trouble for that.
Go, like, put it under a microscope and like there, they have other bigger fish to fry.
Well, you would think, but the airport is so barren and empty that like, I think they have nothing but time. They're like, yo, dogs, take your time. Like sniff around, like look for drugs, look for paninis.
No, go back.
Yeah. Yeah, go back for a second sniff. But at that time you were getting ready for the Nationals and you were like, I feel good. But so how many months were you removed from actually being like rehab is done?
If that was November or like somewhere around there,
yeah,
it was like fresh off, like one day. I'm not even,
oh.
I did rehab like right into that Stanford. Stanford was our first game. So like right into Stanford, I literally stepped out of like the PT room and like onto the court for real.
That's fucking bonkers. So were so take me back there to then now, because I mean, there's so much going through the rehab. You can control what you can control, and you were on top of all of it and probably got yourself to back to Sue Bird status. But then it's like, yeah, feeling good enough, right, to go out there. But even I remember even you were like, we'll see. Like, I hope I like maybe I'll I think you were still even kind of uncertain about what your role was going to be. Like, maybe I'll be coming off the bench to do this. We'll see what my body will allow once I get into game rhythm. Right.
Yeah. So that's like my perfect world was going to be start the national team camps. We had two of them, one in November, one in February, boom, bang those out, get the momentum, like be peaking at the right time. WNBA training camp starts end of April. Boom. I'm in a season that Olympics. And honestly, probably a peace sign, assuming everything went well.
Whoa.
Might've been done. I'm not saying I would have. I'm just saying that kind of was like the mindset. So then
injuries just change your whole way of thinking, don't they?
Yeah.
It just puts everything in perspective. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I would have been like thankful for that the way I felt in November. November, I felt like you said, like I felt good, but I knew I'm like, there was another level I needed to get to. I wasn't there yet.
Yeah.
And it was also like, I knew I needed to get there. And then there's also like that voice, like, but are you gonna, you know, like, but will it happen?
Oh man, the self-haters.
No, yeah, it was just like my knees. I'm 40 now and my knees probably like 140. It's just the reality of it.
Man.
So yeah, the short of it is
my pinkies are like 210. I've jammed my pinkies from basketball so many times it's not legal. Like to where I'm gonna have to get my fiance is like, can you get new pinkies? I'm like, this is not helping before I go to bed.
You have like that weird one? Is it that weird? You know how some people have that weird finger? Is it?
It's not Lord of the Rings like
that. It's that.
I mean, it's just can I you see it. The curve? Oh man. Yeah. It sucks.
Could be anything.
Yeah. It's a good luck charm. But so, okay. So 140 year old knees is what you feel like. So you're just, so you can do all the things that you're supposed to do to get yourself ready. But what is the knee more than other body parts?
Like, can you sustain like a season? Can you sustain game after game, you know, like playing every other day for five games? You know, can you sustain all that and go through a whole season? That's what you're like wondering, and you won't know until you're in it. So like I was planning, like I said, to peak one. And then obviously all, you know, COVID hits, changes everything, go to the bubble, which was great that we could play. And then finally in training camp, we had like a week and a half where I was like, oh, I can do this.
Whoa.
Yeah. It wasn't until then.
Was it a moment or a certain move? Like, did you do a patented like Sue Bird shuffle? And you were like, oh shit, that felt, it hurt it, but in a good way. Like the only hurt I felt was for the defender that had to be on the receiving end of that.
I wish it was a move. It was probably more just like, I woke up the next day and could walk, but you know.
Also huge though.
Yes. Also huge. But yeah, so that was kind of literally like, it wasn't until the start. Cause I was kind of like building up into it. I was like, it's okay. Then I was like, oh, and the first couple games, I was like, oh, I'm good. And then, I mean, could you just, I ended up like my knee ended up like, it's hard to explain what happened, but essentially I had a bone bruise, which is like your bones bang like on the inside.
It's hot.
So I was out. Yeah. Super hot.
Sorry. I have to do it. Yeah. Keep going.
So yeah, I was like, my point is even with that, bone bruises are really annoying. They're just on their own timetable. And even with that, I was like in and out of the lineup, But then finally at the end, I was still like able to do it and just like play at a high level. So I feel really good about this offseason heading into next year.
So there, it's definite you're coming back. That's like,
yeah, I mean,
yeah,
it looks like something will, you know, something happens to me physically. Yeah, I think that's the plan.
Yeah, just don't have any weird like off season. You know, have you ever heard about it's like some of these Major League Baseball players that were playing like Nintendo Wii tennis and they like had to get Tommy John surgery? I mean, just I can't remember who it was. Yeah, there was one guy that did that because that made me like really question, but also like. And but that's the fun of the Wii is to like get so into it with that thing. But like, what a bummer. I was like, oh man, this is going to hurt the Wii sales because.
But then like, I forget who told me this a couple years ago. It might've been my dad. He watches baseball. I don't really watch it. And he was like, oh yeah, don't worry. Like pitchers come back better. And I was like, what? They come back better.
Yeah. I mean,
I was like, you tear your ACL. So that's like the ACL on the elbow. I was like, you tear your ACL in basketball. It's like, ooh, that could be the, from that baseball, they're like, they must like be excited. Like, oh shit, I'm going to be better. This is amazing.
Yeah. Right. I mean, you were talking about this on All the Smoke, how much better just like, the surgery and, just all the medical upgrades have gotten. Is it kind of in the same boat to where it's like, you almost want to screw some up so you can get a better disc or a better
up in there?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about that, but
your timing. Yeah. I mean, definitely not. Nobody wants to get injured if that's what you're trying to set me up for, Adam. But
maybe if I'm a pitcher, I'll give you that. Yeah. Maybe if I'm a pitcher.
But like,
come back better.
Is it like the way Brianna came back? What's her nickname? What do you guys call her again? Stewie? Yeah, I love that. I mean, again, it's like that to me. Was it not even a year that she did it and came back?
Yeah, it was like a little over a year.
I mean, that's crazy. And then to just play it at the seemingly same level, if not better. I mean, yeah, right?
She can get better. That's the scary part. But she was, she was like, could see nothing else but like proving everyone wrong, winning the champion. Like it was seriously tunnel vision. Not in like some creepy way. She's like, was still fun to hang out with.
But yeah, yeah, yeah.
She was really focused. It was like, this is my year of redemption. You know, what's that saying? Like the comeback stronger than the set or whatever that is.
Yeah. Yeah. The, the setback, something to come. Yeah. Yeah. What if she was just so blinders on for basketball that you guys would bring up anything like, you see those Kim Kardashian private island pics? She's like, if we're not talking hoops, guys, shut the fuck up. You're like, all right.
Drink this immediately.
Yeah. Drink this. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Out. So the bubble, I mean, it seems like, say it again.
What do you want to know?
I mean, what do you want to tell me? I mean, look, I'm in my own version of a bubble right now in this hotel in Australia that is, but you know, not even close to what your bubble is. Can I get Uber Eats? Yeah. Does a COVID guy in a hazmat suit come in? And is it my first and only real sense of human connection? Did I ask him to stick around and have some beers with me? I don't know. Maybe. I don't know what we're talking about. Did he respectfully decline? Yes, because he's a professional. But trying to come up with things to do, it's like you, I don't know how much of the day was hoops when you first got there and then how much of the day was hang time. Can you at least give me that balance first?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it was only like Australian hotel life for the first 3 days. That was it. Because we got tested every day for 3 days before we got to the bubble. So like at home. You'd have to do this like saliva one.
Yep.
So boom, boom. Then you traveled. And then it was just another 3 days of like you said, like the only time we left our room was to go to the testing place to get tested right back to your room. And they delivered your food.
Wow.
Yeah. And then after that, it was kind of like, I would say the first couple of weeks where people were, they were like, okay, if you're going to no hanging out in other people's apartments.
Yeah.
No, only hang out with your team for now. If you're going to eat with other people, eat outside. We were in Florida. So that was like hit or miss wild down there with the weather.
Wait, so you weren't in the hotels, you were in apartments. So there's all these apartments on the Disney World.
Oh, we weren't at Disney.
Oh, I thought everybody was there.
No, just the guys.
Oh, wow. So you were where?
We were at IMG Academy. Have you ever heard of this?
No. So wait, maybe I have.
What?
Maybe I have. Keep going.
Oh, yeah, you might have. Yeah. Like it started out as like this like tennis academy, like famously, like Andre Agassi went there.
That's why I've heard of it.
Yeah, like Maria Sher. If you read his book, you've definitely heard of it. It was called the Bull Terry Academy then.
Oh yeah, yep.
Yeah, yeah. So now though, it's crazy like book. Now it's like all sports. Like name it, it's got everything, and it's kind of just like a boarding school for sports.
Wow.
So it's basically a college campus for sports, and on that campus they have these like these villas and a hotel. So we stayed in a combination of the villa and the hotel.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so that's where we were. Like I said, like first they encouraged, but then as time went, I mean, you had to wear a mask when you were inside, but as time went, like it was on point, but there was a lot of freedom in it too. Like there was a pool, which was like hilarious because everybody's hanging out at the pool all the time.
Is that only your team or was it like
everybody?
So how cool is that? That's never ever been a thing to where there's a potential where it's a true summer camp. I know you did basketball camps. I did basketball camps. So, and that was so fun to me because, you know, you got to make buds with other teams and players. Yeah. I feel like girls are better at that than dudes. Cause dudes would see a guy and be like, yeah, I saw you fucking crossed me up in the game earlier today. Like, don't think you're going to cut me in line for that Salisbury steak, but personal experience, but you guys having people around you that you wouldn't during the season be able to kind of let your guard down also a little bit because of just the environment, right?
Yeah. So that could go both ways.
Yes.
So like sometimes it was cool. Like I said, we would be at the pool, everybody be down there. Like it was literally like, I don't even know, like spring break in real world, like had a baby.
That's amazing.
Then there were other times where you're like, oh, I don't want to go down there because this other team's down there. Or it's just like, oh, I don't want to see all these people. The referees were in our hotel and they're actually cool. They're referees. They're just like us. Like who knew?
They really are.
They really are. But it was like seeing your teacher, like your fifth grade teacher at like,
that's,
you know,
so like funny. You'd be like, oh, that's funny. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But they were at the pool, coaches at the pool, everybody at the pool.
Was it lax or like if you saw a team, like you wouldn't go to the pool during the finals, right? And see the aces there and kind of give them the guy.
Interestingly enough, long story short, basically my whole team was in the hotel and their whole team, give or take a few, were in the villas. So they didn't really kick it at the pool like that. So we still had pool time during the finals, but there really wasn't a lot of time. We played like every other day.
Yeah. Okay. So first of all, just even once it got worked out, were you so, cause there was a little time where, I mean, every sport I think went through this where it was like, man, there's a lot to figure out, but it also gave me a lot of respect for just the people at the helm to figure it out because all sports got figured out. So I'm like, I don't even know. I love that everyone was at least on board to be like, all right, it's going to happen. How are we doing it? And, you know, I think the NBA definitely led the charge with that, don't you think? As far as getting, you guys were kind of synonymous with that. I think NBA basketball in general was like, all right, the bubble thing is once they figured out the bubble, then it was, I guess what I'm asking is at what point did you know, fuck yeah, we're going to play. And how much time did you have prior to that of like, man, I might not even, I came back and I might not even get a season.
So once I only thought that up until conversations started. And once they kind of, so I'm on like the executive committee for the union.
Yeah.
So there's like seven of us. Yeah. So we're like in the in, if you will, for conversations. That's so awesome. Once like our commissioner, Kathy Engelbert, like once she had a phone call, a Zoom call, and like all these people were on it and they were kind of saying, okay, this is what we would like to do. And it was the bubble and, you know, the testing and how it would do. But they didn't even have a location pick, to be honest, at that point. But once I kind of understood that, like where they were going with this, I was like, oh, this is happening. The only way it was not going to happen was like a money issue or something like that. But right. Like from a safety standpoint, it made all the sense to me. I really like, I was never nervous about, and I'm not trying to say like, I was never nervous about the COVID part. I was like, okay, so we're just go somewhere. We can't leave. No one can come in.
Yeah.
And you're going to test us to get in. So there actually were, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but there actually were a couple positive tests once we got there. So like basically two people had it prior and brought it.
Yep.
They were immediately quarantined. It was never an issue. They were quarantined. They got over it. They came back and that was it. There were some false positives, but that, Those were just like scary for a second, and that was
yeah. So you, the testing was on point, and that seems like
every day.
And that has to be. I mean, if that's on point, and you get the rapid results back, like I think you guys have. When I went to Chappelle's summer camp, they had the 15-minute in the nose, and then they have a little box, and you get it back. That's what athletes in the White House have. No?
I don't know what they have. No, what we had was like the full PCR, and they go, oh, wow. Ours wasn't the brain one. Ours was like up the nose on this side, but only like halfway, up yep. the nose on this side, and then another swab in the throat.
Oh, wow.
And like it's the combination, because every day to go up to your brain would be a lot.
Yeah.
So, but those took like 12 hours to come back.
Oh.
And yeah. The only time you got a rapid was in a scenario where, like I said, so when you test, I don't even know how many people we had there, 300, 400 people every day, there's going to be false positives. Right. Kind of like Nick Saban just had a false positive. Like yeah. it's going to happen. In that case, then boom, you get a rapid. They get it back. I forget how long, but they get it back. Not 15 minutes, but like a couple hours. And then you move on because it's probably negative.
Is it weird? And again, stop me if any question feels repeated, but I feel like I'm going to ask it in a way that is not sports analyst reporter way. Okay. I guarantee you nobody made a knees banging. That sounds hot joke. So I think we're in a good territory.
Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
The no fans, are you so pumped? Cause you know, as it's so funny, even as a, I guess I say former, I still play basketball. Does that make me a former player? No.
It's whatever you want it to be.
As an athlete, when I watch, you can't help as a fan. And if you've played it, put yourself in that situation. I'm like, I bet I would be so pumped to even be playing that everything else that is not consistent with real life would not really matter. So I think you'd be bummed with the no fans for a second, but then you go, fuck, you just try to find that silver lining and go, we're getting to play, so deal with it. But I feel like that's easier said than done, because you go your whole life with people around you and now it's just not, right?
Yeah. So the weirdest part, 100%, about the no fans thing was when you ran out onto the court. So usually like you're in the locker room, blah, blah, or maybe you've come out early, you got your shots up, warm up, you go in the locker room, the coach talks. This is like classic pregame kind of maneuvering. Then at some point, the whole team like runs out and you do your layups. So usually on the run out, even when you're away, like even when it's not your home court, on the run out, there's people and they'll give you this. At home, it's like, wah, but there's something. This was like you ran out and it was just nothing. And that was the most bizarre part. And then as the season went, that even became normal. The one thing I'll say is this, you didn't miss the fans. Like once the game gets going, you don't notice what's around you anyway, but it makes you wonder, or it makes you realize how much the fans impact games, because there was no like emotional swings. So like, I always say like when you're home and you're like a good 3-point shooter and the game's going and you can hear, and it's momentum. And all of a sudden you get a wide open three, you can hear the fans go like getting ready to erupt, and it you feel it. And so like, there's an emotional thing that happens where it puts a little more pressure on you. You're like, oh God, if I hit this, the place is going
to
erupt.
And if you hit it, in the same token, probably gives you more mojo to go, man, I want to hit another one. It's like gambling, right?
Feedback. Yes. Yes. So that is just gone. And then the same thing. Now, if you're on the road, this for sure, every basketball player, this has happened to, you're on the road. Maybe it's a playoff game, high emotion, right? Like it's back and forth. All of a sudden they go on a run and your team has to call timeout and you're like, fuck, because the place is going absolutely insane. And then you get to the bench and you look at the score and you're like, oh, we're only down 5. It feels like you're down 25 because it just was bananas. So it's like, that didn't exist either. So like anytime something happened, that wasn't there. And it's like, you don't miss it. But I think looking like, cause it's just, you're not thinking about it. You're not like, oh man, fans, you're not thinking that. I mean, I wasn't, but looking back on it, I'm like, oh yeah, like we played Vegas, okay, and they were the number one seed and we were the number two seed, and so the first two games would have been on their home court, And if you look at final scores, and really, if you watch the game, like we had it, we were in control for both games, like pretty much the whole game. But there was moments in the third quarter where they would like take the lead, you know, or they had the lead. Like it was always close in the third quarter. And I fully believe like we were playing really well. But if those games are in Vegas and their fans are going apeshit, like who knows?
And it really changes everything. Yeah, it's that outside element of just, which is why. I mean, yeah, I don't know what you call that. Just the swings of the game that fans can dictate when you feel in any sport, if you get into a little bit of a hole and the fans are going nuts and it makes every move even more pressurized with like, you probably feel that as a player, right? You see it with teams that tense up offensively, right? Because you're like, fuck, I don't want to make a wrong pass here that could get stolen because then they'll go even crazier. And then we're going to be even more like, fuck.
Yeah.
Which is why players like you, I'm so amazed by, because you just seem like you're so just zen all the time in pressure.
I don't know about that.
Well, you're faking it well. Was there a time during the playoffs that, I mean, do you think the bubble made you guys tighter? Like, did you feel an extra level of camaraderie, or do you just, because this group's been together now for –
Yeah.
A minute, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Like the core, I guess.
Yes.
Like, yeah. We've been, so there's probably like 4, 5, 6 of us that have been together now, like 4 years. There's some add-ons, if you will. I should say that to tell the story.
Who have
still been on the team. This is their third year.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah. But the thing about our team is the chillest group of people ever.
That like matters, huh?
Yeah, each individual is pretty chill. As a group, like I said, we're chill. It's just not a lot of drama. We don't get caught up in it. You know, like I'm sure there were times where people had their moments where they were maybe like homesick or kind of struggling. Because the thing about the bubble, the hardest part, you couldn't get away from it. Like you're just in it. So like you couldn't get away from basketball. You couldn't get away from everybody around you. You had nowhere to go to like escape. So I'm sure there was moments, but our team was like, we're just shrug stuff off. So we've always been a tight team.
Yeah.
So I don't think it made us any tighter. We were just unfazed by all the bullshit happening around us. So from that, I think it might've affected other teams more.
did you get, were there any people on the, is everyone friends with everybody like the same, or it's like any team, right? You've got people you're closer with and you kick it with.
Oh,
and
yeah.
But were there any players that you felt, you were like, oh man, I talked to so-and-so more through this, or I learned more about this person because we were just around each other more, or I saw that somebody was affected by like what you just mentioned, the bubble, the stress of the bubble. So I went out of my way to reach out to them more, which I maybe wouldn't have done if we were, in a normal season. Yeah.
Not so much that, like, but more like, like I said, the pool was hopping and we have one teammate, Crystal Langhorn. Crystal, like we call her Lang. Lang was like the queen of the pool. She'd be in that pool. I swear. Like I would look out because I was in the hotel. That's where the pool was. I would like look out like the window by the elevator and I'd be like, oh, Lang's in the pool. Let's call it like 1 o'clock. I'd be like, oh, Lang's in the pool. Like, let's go down there. So Megan was with me. So I was very lucky.
Oh, the whole time.
The whole time.
That's huge.
Oh, I know. I have zero. I can't complain at all. Like I'm not allowed to complain about the bubble because I'm one of the few people that had someone with them.
I mean, for sure. There's also though, I mean, and you can attest to this just being in a relationship. Hey, there's still, I mean, being with somebody and thank God you had something to always go do. I would love to hear, but like you still have those relationship bubble. Like, can you just not, like, I got a game tonight or whatever it is. The same bubble. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. No. Like nap time.
Yeah.
I mean, so like I do nap on game days. It's kind of like a norm for athletes, but I try to give myself 2 hours. If I get 30 minutes, I'm thrilled.
Totally.
But I'd be like, Megan, nap time is from 4 to 6. So
peace.
I don't know what you have to do, but
yeah.
Yeah. There'd be nights where, cause obviously she was just in there kicking it.
I would love to hear her bubble experience in a separate pod. Was she just out? I mean,
There wasn't much to do. So, but there were days where like, So let's say I have a game the next day. So for me, it's like, I just want to eat dinner, chill.
Yeah.
Like, that's essentially go to bed, whatever. And she'd be like, I'm going to see what Holly Rowe was in the Wobble.
Oh, dope.
It's called the Wobble.
I love it.
ESPN. Yeah, yeah. So she's like, you know, I'm just going to go see what Holly's doing. I'll be back later. And I'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
So there were nights where she would just go like grab wine with Holly or who, there were some other people like staff members of other teams she became friendly with and would just like kick it with them. And I was like, cool. See you later.
Yeah. Probably almost welcome that. Cause you're like, just let me like get into, but now here's the thing where it's like
let me binge watch the show that I'm supposed to be waiting for you, but I don't want to.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me get a separate Netflix account so I can make it seem like I didn't move past so that when it pulls up and it says,
watching. Wait, I thought we were on episode.
Yeah. I know. Cause there's times with my girl where, you know, if you know, I've got, when things were the, you know, normal and I'd have like auditions early and I maybe only did one show instead of three shows. So I was home at like 9, but she was out for a friend's birthday or something. And then I'd be, for once in a blue moon, be like, I'm going to try to go to bed by 11 and hopefully at least pass out by midnight so I can get up at 7. And you know, I know that it's going to take me a minute, but this is what I'm trying for. And then she has to now balance this line of, okay, well, I'm going out for a birthday party with one of my friends I haven't seen in 4 years. Everything she said added another element of like, oh, like there's going to be no shortage of booze. When you're like, best friend's birthday, haven't seen him in 4 years. They just went through a breakup. I mean, it was the trifecta of you're not going to sleep. And and so, I mean, did you deal with that? Like, would Megan have to like sleep on the couch or if she wanted to like, she was responsible.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Chill. Okay, good.
I mean, it was also like not much going on. They were like in the hotel bar. Like,
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's not knock a hotel bar. A lot of damage can happen.
That's true.
Were you on full shutdown mode? I remember I sent you a text once and I felt like immediately like my mom sending me a text. I think it was even, and then I realized it was during a game, I think, or on the way to a game. And I was so mad at myself because like my mom will send me text sometimes when I'm on stage or right about to go literally walking on. Exactly. I mean, and so I'm just like, you know, and obviously it's not like you were running out on the court with your phone. It'd be great if there was a shot of you being like, and I'm like,
Right before we run out, all of us are in there like, last looks. Oh, really?
Last looks. What are the last looks? Just IG, just memes, just whatever. Yeah.
Well, that was
my other question is like, how shut down do you, are you asked to be? Do you make yourself be? Are you trying to just be, like you said, Stewie is just all hoops all the time? Or are you like...
Stewie's going to kill me for that. She's actually not all hoops all the time.
Right. But
she's just really...
I know. But I mean, like, but just are... do is it encouraged to, during playoff time, to just not be distracted? But also it's like, well, hey, man, there's a lot of downtime. I need to see if there's any new salsa recipes.
So no, nobody said like, there's no like team. Anything yeah. Okay. About that. Okay. Everyone does their own thing. It's the only thing I would say that's frowned upon is like, don't check your phone at halftime. That's kind of one of the
people
do it, but like, you might not want to do that, but otherwise it's free game for me personally. I don't really limit myself until the playoffs. And then I'm like, cause what happens is, you know, I follow a ton of like women's basketball things.
Yeah.
And what happens in the playoffs is naturally like, they're just covering the game. And so it might be like, so obviously we played the Aces. It might be like, oh, Asia Wilson's doing this. Oh, Angel McCutchie that. I would just rather not see anything. Even if it's like positive for us. I don't want to see positive. I don't want to see any of it. So in the playoffs, I will still go on social media, but I'll try to make it like once or twice a day, which is, for me, low.
Yeah.
And I won't do it like in the arena. I'll look at, since you mentioned salsa recipes.
Yeah.
I end up looking at Seattle real estate. That's like my,
I love it.
I can get lost in it.
Oh yeah. Well, what are your sites that you're perusing?
I mean, all of them. I have like a whole folder where it's like,
please just give me a few. Cause I'm, like, I mean, I do that a lot for Shoreline and Lake Forest Park where I grew up. And then in Arizona, where my fiance is from, I also just love Arizona. And I was talking to Rick Riz, the Mariners broadcaster, when I was down there a couple of years ago. And about like where they were staying. And I was like, God, I was like, and I think they all had an Airbnb, about like eight of them, like the staff. And I was like, man, like to get a place there and pay for it during spring training. And also it's 5 hours from LA. It's awesome. It's like, and now there are fams there. What's that?
Is this where you're headed?
No, not to live. I'm just saying, I want like, it'd be cool to have a property there.
Oh yeah. 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 Like a getaway.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Oh,
yes,
totally.
Yes.
It's cheap.
Yes.
It's always nice weather.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the summer, like,
has a place there. It's like, it's amazing there.
Oh, I bet it's dope. Yeah. I mean, yeah, and like to have a pool and like I look at some places. I looked at a place the other day in Peoria for like $400,000. It was like 4-bedroom, 4-bath. And it was like, I mean, the backyard was massive. And I was like, what am I doing? But also I, you know, there's so many reasons not to when you're like, my mom's like, why the fuck would you get a place in Seattle when you stay at our place all the time? I'm like, and their place is very homey, which, by the way, she's extended yet another invite to you if you ever want to come over. The amount of Sue is her middle name, which she also didn't forget to mention. So she's like, I'm like, oh yeah, if there wasn't a reason that she was going to accept, that might put it over the top. She's like, my middle name is Sue.
Tell her that. Make sure she knows. Make sure.
Yeah. Wait, so you're looking, cause obviously it's fun, but are you trying to, is that a down the line?
No.
Fun to peruse.
I love where I live. Yeah, it's fun. Every now and then there might be a pipe dream, like, ooh, this place is insane.
But I know, really. Right? Are there things that you, when you said like you don't like to read also anything about like the
not
game?
Really.
Like
not
any,
in playoffs.
Yeah.
During the regular season, I don't care. I'll read everything. But like during the playoffs, it's easy just to like keep it simple, you know, not have all like the fluff around you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you miss basketball right now? What does that come down like?
Yeah, it was weird this time just because, so usually you win and like my experience, you win, you come home back to Seattle. There's like a huge greeting at the airport. You know, like when they celebrate you at the airport, they basically take like the fire hoses and like spray the plane and like all this stuff,
wow,
which is pretty cool. Yeah. Or maybe it was our bus. I can't remember. But yeah, there's like all this commotion. Then you have a parade and the city gets to celebrate you. And
parade
for like a
is
week,
so cool.
Yeah. And for like a week, because a lot of people go overseas. So everybody's kind of just in Seattle for anywhere from literally one day to like I said, like a week. And this is our chance. So we go out every night and everywhere we go, you're like a rock star. Like every restaurant, every club, they have tables for you, like bottle serve, all this stuff. And you're just like a rock star for a week. It's a lot of fun. It's like a lot of fun. And this G didn't have any of it. We had our one night. We had one night, the night we won, which was awesome. We had a great time. And then everybody went home the next day. And then now we're like, I mean, you're not in quarantine, but you're in a version of it. You know, like nobody's going to a club or doing whatever. So everyone's just like, some of my teammates are already overseas.
Playing or just traveling?
No, playing. Oh, sorry. Playing.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. No bubble, and they're all just over there doing it.
For just what? Just for more game pay? Just
to
keep
overseas
it
where we make our money.
It is.
Yeah, that's like where we make like a lot of money.
Yeah, that is that ever gonna be something you toy with or not?
Oh, I've done it. Oh, I've done it.
Oh, well, yeah. Like, and, oh, that's right. We talked about this. You went to like in Russia? Didn't you say even in Israel?
So
that was the Olympics. Oh, yeah,
No. I have an Israeli passport.
Okay, that's right.
So I had to go to Israel to do that, but I only ever played in Russia.
Okay.
Oh yeah, that's my 30s.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. My 30s.
That's so. I mean, first of all, there's got to be a way to still have that when things do open up, to where you can maybe the city can make like storm week, and then you guys to make it known that like you guys are going to be out and about. And so that people
give them free shit everywhere they go.
But also you guys, you know, you're such a big part of the city that I feel like, yeah, it won't be the same as like the week of, but you're out and about. I mean, you still get those, haze and accolades, but yeah, not the same as like walking into a packed bar on a Saturday night, like the week of.
And everyone's like cheering for us. We always get the shout out. you know, and like in clubs these days, meanwhile, I'm not really even like a club goer. I'm saying it like it's my go-to.
Yeah.
Like dinner lasting 5 hours. That's like my club.
That's your jam.
You know, I got a young team. So, you know, like the women come out with like the sparkler thingies and the bottle. Last year or 2 years ago, they had Stewie's face on like her head on a stick.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
I'll send them to you.
Yeah. Yeah, those things are, I mean, yeah, that's always fun to be a part of, but you love that long dinner, just gab and drink until really it's time to kick me out. Man, I love that too. Really fast.
So the one cool thing that I did post championship was Megan, because it was my birthday coming up, like shortly after. Megan got like seven of our friends. There was nine of us. Set up everything, totally surprised me. And it was like this huge trip because there's three of us, like two other of my really close friends from like childhood, we're all turning 40. So it was basically this like 40 birthday bash. And we went to Antigua, which was amazing. I know, beyond amazing. So amazing.
Whoa.
Yeah. And so they have like 20 cases. So it's like, so you have to get tested you go, but it's super safe. We went to this one outdoor restaurant. It was my first time going to a restaurant.
Did you cry?
No, but I was like, oh my God, I love when people serve me. I hate to sound like an asshole.
No, it's the whole, the dining experience rules.
Yeah.
I know.
So we're there and all of a sudden we got, our reservation was at 5. It was 10:30 and they were like, there's an island curfew at 11. So you guys need to leave. We were like, okay, sorry.
You shut down the island.
But they were like, the taxi driver is going to get in trouble. It's like, he's not home by 11. Oh. We were like, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
That's so fucking cool.
Yeah, there's an island-wide curfew, 11 p.m. Go home. That's probably why they have.
I mean, I see both sides of that, but also in the moment, if you made it to 10:30, there's no chance you weren't going another 2 hours. That's awesome. Yeah, you know, when I did, I remember that's why, I mean, I'm the exact same way. When I took my family after, when I was opening for Dane at the Paramount, and we went to Ruth Chris after, which is right across the street. And I remember there was a chance you were going to come over, and you were like, how late you going? And as soon as you asked me that, that's before I even knew you were like a long dinner goer. I was like, oh, hell yeah. I was like, all right, there's a chance. I remember being told a few people, I was like, there's a chance she's coming. And they're like, well, how long are we going to be here? I was like, I'm not leaving until Ruth Chris, and same shit. They kicked us out. And, you know, there was like 12 of us and we had a big table in the back and I kept ordering drinks. So the guy was like, I gotcha. And also one of his servers had gone to the show and then came over because they got busy. So I think that helped where it was because, you know, otherwise they would be like, dude, fuck it. But if you're buying shit, they're like, let's keep going. But and especially when you got cool people around you, I think that like ups it. It's like good environment. Like you said, you were outside. Was it on the beach?
Yeah. No, but it was like, it overlooked the beach. It was like raised kind of like on a cliff, if you will.
Yeah,
but it was water. It was unbelievable. Highly recommend it. Yeah, right now. Coming back to Seattle in a couple weeks.
Oh, dope. Are you going to, I think I saw Damian Lillard posting a video the other day of him training. Is that, and I was just like, Jesus Christ, it just is not. Like I did 90 minutes on the exercise.
All on this. Back on the Peloton.
Oh, yeah. Dude, they brought up this little like, half-ass exercise bike for me, which is great so I can get some, because by the way, I have this little patio right here to get some fresh air, but I was like, I know I'm not going to do yoga finally, which I've been telling myself I need to do for the last 30 years, but I was like, I need some. I was like, where's my cardio going to be? Jumping jacks? Yeah. Like I'm in PE.
They gave you a bike.
It's a little bike, and they've actually gave me these shoes that hook into the pedals, which I didn't even know was a thing because I've never done the exercise bike. I'm a stair stepper guy. You've seen my calves on OnlyFans. So, but this thing is, and you said you're a Peloton gal, yeah?
Yeah.
Just got one. It's not going to be delivered till January because my girl is a big biker, but the weather's going to change January.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, I think we should get one for indoors and she can have something to ride on. And, but the seats, are the seats better on Pelotons?
They all suck.
There have been times when I have not stopped vibrating. And I'm like, what is happening? Does this mean I can't have kids?
Your thighs and other things just need to get in bike shape. And once they do, you'll be fine.
Oh, okay. So that's a universal thing.
It always hurts the first, like, however many times you do it.
Yeah. Okay. So it's okay.
To get, like, adjusted to it. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sure it's worth, I don't know.
You
can get like a cushion. They have like bike cushions.
Yeah. I'm going to invest in all the bike cushions.
You can get those pants, those bike pants.
What?
They have bedding. Yeah. I don't have them, but I'm sure they work wonders.
Oh, so it's almost like the pads, like for a football player that you would put in like certain parts of it. It's like a little support thing. Yeah. That's a necessity. Cause I would, you know, I'm sitting on the bike and then every 12 seconds, I'm just like sitting up just to not, lose feeling in my lower half. Are you going to, when you go back to Seattle? Okay. So training wise, is that going to, can you give yourself a little bit of a break, or who decides this?
Her name's Susan.
Yes.
She's my strength coach. She essentially runs my life.
Whoa.
I don't mind it.
That's awesome. I want that.
So I basically had like that whole vacation, didn't do anything. Even leading up to it, didn't do much. And then now I'm kind of like slowly getting back in. Not like for me, WNBA is not for a while. So I'm going to try to like get myself in great shape by February, just in case, like, you know, it's an Olympic year. So maybe there's something, who knows?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just kind of on like a slow, steady climb. I'm not like doing that Damian Lillard treadmill. That looked awful.
Yeah. That was bonkers, huh?
I was like, ooh, that hurts.
I mean, that guy I think is as determined as I've ever seen anyone to try to get Portland to the finals.
I love and it.
He's so dope. I also just love that he's, I would be willing to put money on that he's never leaving Portland. Because I just think he owns that city and they're always in contention, but it's like, they do need like, I mean, yes. I mean, come on, right? I thought Kevin Love at one point, but I think
that makes sense.
Whatever they do, they're gonna have to kind of like lose more than they want, right? To get like somebody, yeah.
Unless a free agent wants to come, and I don't know. I mean, listen, NBA salary cap is like, what's that one meme? Since I love memes, where it's like Zach Galifianakis and like all the stuff's going around him. He's like computing.
Yeah.
So I don't know like how much money they have but if a free agent comes, maybe they could keep people or just get rid of only like one or two guys, whatever.
Yeah. My mom, to go back to her, posted that thing that was going around of you and LeBron side by side. Did you see it? Yeah. That was like, which was cool for a lot of the accolades. It was like seasons, championships, the money. Yeah. People, I mean, and it is.
Yeah, but then that comes back on me. So first of all, I'm actually, and I say this like totally real, I don't think we should get the same money as NBA players, but I think people think we think that when we say things like we want equality, but we're just like, can I just get the same media coverage and the corporate sponsor looks and things like that?
Yep.
So we can build the business.
Yep.
And then when it's really good, like the NBA is, then we can get that money.
Yes.
So anyway, that meme has just made my comments like on another level.
Oh.
Maybe if you had viewership, you'd have that money. Oh, you really compare yourself to the NBA? I'm like, I didn't make the meme. I'm like, I just got the same amount of rings, maybe more. I didn't make the ring meme.
I know. I love that voice, by the way. That's exactly the person that says that.
Like a 15-year-old boy. I'm like, oh, where's our world going?
I know. You mentioned that Kyrie has really done like some cool shit with you and for you, like in the shoe game. Yeah. Is that really where it's, that's dope. Has that really, cause what are the things, I mean, you know, outside of that, that you, especially someone of your magnitude and at your level can be trying to, you know, take advantage of.
Yeah. Well, Kyrie, I mean, yeah, like Kyrie, since you brought up that example, what makes what he's done with me so special is because there hasn't been a lot of like signature shoes for women, you know, like for whatever reason. It started out where there was like the Cheryl Swoops had a shoe. Even like Lisa Leslie had, I want to say, I don't know if it was a signature shoe, but she had like, her name was connected to a shoe. Same with Dawn Staley, Shamiqua Holdsclaw at one point, Diana Taurasi had a shoe. But I'm literally, we're talking from 1998 to 2006, and then that was it. It just hasn't happened since. Wow. So for Kyrie to have like this Keep Sue Fresh thing that he's got going, and basically it hooks me up with everything that comes out, which is nice. And then they'll do some like special PEs that are like only I have, or so this year they actually did, we did like a Karate Kid theme. Cause that's like one of my, okay. So it's like, I love the movie first of all, cause Elizabeth Shue's in it. Any lesbian loves Elizabeth Shue.
Really?
I'm sure he does too, but yeah.
Yo, Adventures in Babysitting. When I saw that shit, when I was, that might've been the first time I was like, oh, I'm only 9, but I think I want her to massage me. And I don't know why.
I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
And I really didn't know why. Yeah. Very confusing.
Mom.
Yeah. So there's this like, you know, the like getting Miyagi, like how, you know, he basically tricks you.
Yes.
And you're like doing all these. And that's basically like what my life has become. Like, I basically like Susan, the woman I just mentioned, I'll do like all these exercises and it's like a lunge with a twist. And you're like, why the fuck am I doing this? And then you get on the court and you're like, oh shit, I'm really good at this move. Cause I can like stabilize and whatever. So I always joke that she's Miyagi-ing me. And then even with my team, you know, like maybe we're talking about something. I'm like, just got Miyagi'd, you know? So I'm like obsessed with this like Miyagi idea. Nike did, I'll have to send you some pictures. Like, so you know, like the headband he wears.
Yes.
So one pair, like that. Like it's that kind of colorway, and it's got all the elements from the headband.
Holy and shit!
The other shoe though, which is like even doper. It's basically, you know, the yellow car.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's all yellow, and it has like some, I guess, like light brown kind of tint to it on the bottom because it had that like accent to it. They're both yellow. But it's wax on. So one of them shiny and wax off. One of them's like,
that's unreal.
Yeah. And those are like one of ones.
Only. Oh, really? Oh, that's dope. Well, they got to make those available. Wait. So, and these are only women's shoes. Cause I, as soon as I saw
mine, they're Kyrie. Sorry. So they're Kyrie's shoe. Like his Kyrie 6.
Gotcha.
Like his silhouette, whatever. He'll do like, they call it a PE, like a personal edition. And these are like my PEs.
Gotcha. That's so dope.
When I opened the box, I was like, at first the headband one, I was like, what is this? And then I was like, oh, and the same thing with the wax on, wax off. I was like, oh,
that's so cool.
And this one's not shiny. Whoa. It was. Yeah. So he's
what about, do you ever see like, you know, the way, I mean, you know, LeBron, Jordan, KD, even Kyrie with, what was it? Uncle Ned? What was his Uncle Drew?
Uncle Drew. Yo, Uncle Ned. Here's like, the beef jerky.
I mean, you know, getting to know you, like you have a really great sense of humor and you're a great, what I think you, and you clearly are silly. And I feel like we could put you in something, to put you in some sort of prosthetic thing would be fucking amazing. But I feel like you are so, you wouldn't have actor concerns. So I feel like the way a kid, is on set and just kind of like listens and reacts because they maybe haven't done it a lot yet. I feel like that's how it would be for you. So I feel like that needs to happen sooner or later. And maybe I don't know if, no, not even, I mean, look, you could, to just like wet the whistle, but is that even something that you think about?
Acting?
Yes. Like being on a show or like.
Oh, yeah. No, like doing like a show of some sort. Yeah. But like not scripted and just probably like with a bent to sports.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But like.
Yeah, I saw you do this thing with my boy James Davis for Nike. I can't remember what it was.
The cooking thing?
Yes.
Yeah. That was ridiculous.
Yeah, that was silly.
They were like, all right, do a funny infomercial. So basically it was like how athletes eat, which was like a super cute idea. And like the athlete picks the recipe and I teach him how to do it. And we're kind of like asking, oh, what was it like growing up in New York? You know, asking questions.
Yeah.
But then at the end, they're like, all right, do an infomercial. Like a funny old school infomercial. I was like, what? I was like, all right, I'm following your lead.
Yeah.
I can't even tell you what came out of either of our mouths.
It was great. So But I'm sure you would take the opportunity to be like a judge on like a Chopped or something like that. No problem, right?
Too much salt. I already know the answer.
Too much salt or put on more salt?
Yeah, it's either. It's always the salt.
It is, right?
It's always. I feel bad. I'm like, oh my God, it's always the salt. Get someone.
I want to go on. I mean, I also feel like Family Feud would be a fun one to go on. Would your family be good for that? No.
No, we would actually be. We would be smart, but more on the mellow.
Yeah.
I'd be the wild one, if you could imagine that.
Yeah. Because the families do need to be.
I take that back. Nancy is the wild one.
I love that. So Nancy, maybe there's a show in that. Maybe there's a Nancy and Sue travel show.
Just today, I actually saw her. It was my sister's birthday, and she was like, "So when am I going to get my soup commercial?"
Oh, that's amazing.
I fed you Campbell's your whole life. I can do a Campbell's commercial. You know how they have the Campbell's commercial for the
Oh, yeah, with all the athlete moms. I'm like, that is a great idea. I mean, look, she's not wrong for many reasons because it is – I've only ever seen it for football.
Yeah, football. Yeah.
So, like, what Campbell's? Like, do the Campbell's crossover. Like, literally have somebody with a can of soup dribbling it and just, like, go like that. And it's – I mean, look, like, get your own vintage – maybe they come up with a new soup. Everybody likes soup.
Have you ever seen the movie A Love Affair?
I know what it is, but no. Who's in it?
Warren Beatty, like 105 years ago.
Whoa, Warren Beatty.
Anyway, for all of your listeners, which I doubt any of them have watched A Love Affair.
Yeah, this There's is more of a Shanghai Nights crowd.
Like a Campbell's Soup commercial she's filming. And you're going to have good in your head for, honestly, 25 years. That's what Campbell's Soup.
It's one of the greatest jingles of all time. Yeah. Real quick Campbell's Soup story, too, actually, was in a one of those like Korean day spas in San Francisco. And my buddy Sandy D'Angelo and I were there doing shows. And we went to the spa and we're sitting in the sauna. And this guy sitting in there, we got our towels on. This guy's buck naked. Do what you want. And he's sitting there and he goes, he just leans back and he goes, mm-mm, good. And I go, Campbell's Soup. Now, I didn't need to say anything. There's nothing about the sauna that says,
there is no win.
Yeah. Make a friend or talk. Like that should be kind of a silent experience unless you can't like Sandy and I would, you know, under our breath, they say stuff, whatever, but that's just cause we're just always in the bit boat. Right. And so, and so this guy goes, good. I go Campbell's Soup. And then he just goes, what? And I go, so now I'm like, all right, I guess we're in this. And I go, the jingle for the soup. And he goes, what? I go, good is the Campbell's Soup jingle. He goes, okay. He goes, that's just what I say. And I go, okay, well, you're stealing the Campbell's Soup jingle. And so now we're in this like, now I'm fighting about the origins of the Campbell's Soup jingle in a sauna while this guy is just fully exposed. And I was like, all right, there's probably a better time to really get into this. Second one, when we were filming The Heat, Melissa McCarthy, Michael McDonald.
I love this, by the way.
Oh, you do?
My favorite movies, yeah.
Oh, man.
Like my favorite comedy.
For real?
Yeah.
Oh,
I have a couple downloaded on my iPad, like in case of emergency and I can't get on Wi-Fi and I need something.
Yes.
And that's one.
It is a good, like, the story is good enough. And it's also just one of those movies where it's like every scene has a lot of jokes. And it's just kind of.
When they're in the bathroom at the club, I like literally can't. Megan's laughing. I literally can't.
Oh, we got to all watch. Oh, we're all watching that because that was, you know, in the middle of my whole intro scene. We're sitting there watching on the monitor and just they improvise so much shit. I mean, when she was like.
I would love to know what is improvised and what's not. If you
a lot. Oh, man. My thing about the lions being behind me was improvised. When I said Melissa looks like a Ninja Turtle.
In that moment, not to interview you, but in that moment, like everybody just knows whatever comes out of anyone's mouth, just go with it.
Yeah. I mean, it's also totally, I think, and this is a credit to Paul Feig, the director, you know, he did Bridesmaids right before that. And he just, you know, and he's directed so many of The Office and Parks and Rec. He's just, he gets that if I have people that can improvise, I want to let people have all their weapons at their disposal. And obviously the script was great, but he's like, look, I have all these people that can do this. So, I mean, when I was in the booth with Sandra and she's trying to bug my phone, they gave me one shot where he was just like, I'm going to let you just go. And this is like 1 a.m. where he's like, you're just being a douchey club owner trying to impress her while she's trying to bug your phone. He gave me like, they're thinking like, you know, all right, 2 to 5 minutes. I went on for like 15 minutes because this is also my first movie. And I'm like, this might be the only thing I ever do. So I'm going to soak up. Yeah. So I just didn't stop. And even Sandra at one point, like, you know, after they called cut, she was just like, do you just want to, is this movie just going to be you now? Or like, what's going on? Like, that was, are we going to be in this? And because I was just like, you know, we're trying to get Seal. Yeah, my buddy knows Smash. I was just like rattling off all this shit. But Melissa, when they were in the bathroom, what's that?
Did they use any of it?
Oh, yeah, they used a little bit. Yeah. They used, okay. I think I said one thing where I said, all these girls are always coming in here so thirsty. I said, like, don't feed them after midnight. They're like gremlins. They'll turn into more sluts or something. Just something really awful. And then, but Melissa, when they were in the bathroom, I mean, they were, I think when she said what was improvised that had everybody dying is when she goes, she's like, why is it so hot? When she was like pulling out her Spanx. And then she's like, Santa's like, it's supposed to keep everything like together. Yeah. And then she goes, what's going to come fucking popping out? Dude, we lost it. I mean, that was like.
Well, we always do the line. Actually, very recently we started doing this where it's like, Sandra's character asks her, like, well, why don't you have to dress like this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I forget exactly what she says.
Yeah. She's like, I'm all movement. I put it out.
Yeah, I let my body do the talking. It's all, you wouldn't get it.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So good.
Yeah, they were
one
just
of my favorite
like,
scenes, like all time.
It's, I mean, how about their drunk dance? Like at the bar when they just ending it when Melissa or when Sandra pulls up the guys, she thinks it's Melissa and it's a guy at the end of the night. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a point to bringing all that up. What was I?
Campbell's soup.
Oh yeah. The line in there that was improvised when Michael said, when he was being interrogated by Melissa, remember Michael McDonald when they got him and he said,
yeah,
you look like the Campbell soup kid grew up and had a drinking problem.
That was improvised.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. He's a freak of nature. All right. A few more minutes and we'll wrap this up. Are you going to go when you get back to Seattle to Sean Kemp's weed shop?
I'm definitely getting a t-shirt. Did you see the logo?
Unbelievable.
Like amazing. I'm like, he's going to sell more money or make more money in merch than he is in weed.
I know. I'm very pumped for him because I don't know what his situation is, but he just, you know, the fact that he's can't be celebrated basketball wise in Seattle the way that he should, as far as like getting his jersey retired and being able to go to games and probably be a coach. I mean, like it's very cool. Also, it's cool to have, weed shops are so popular in Washington State. Yeah. And it's like, obviously I'm going to be like, oh, cool. I'm going to get Kemp's weed versus whoever else. And it sounds like he's involved with some cool people. All right. Well, that's good to know. It's on like First and Denny, pretty prime spot.
Yeah.
Major. It's actually, they're going to split it with like I think Kid Valley or Dick's. It's going to be like one of those KFC Taco Bell. No, I'm joking.
I was like, I refuse to go to those. I mean, I don't even know if they exist anymore.
To Kid Valley or Dick's?
No. When it was like Taco Bell and KFC.
Oh,
like, this,
that, what is happening? Yeah. Nobody's like, oh man, let's get that new chalupa and dip it in some mashed potatoes. Yeah. Actually saying that out loud, everybody wants to do that.
You're like, I've been in quarantine for 2 weeks.
Yeah. I was mashed. Oh man. All right. So we ended with this last time with a little quarantine cue. So I got a new set of quick rapid fire questions. But they, you know, if there's some longer answers, feel free to divvy them up. All right. The first one, and we kind of touched on this, a reality show that you would go on currently.
Oh my gosh.
Because there's been so many that have come out of the woodwork. since we've last talked, I mean, let's just go down the list. Love Island. I mean, didn't watch it either. Are you guys Bachelor people?
No.
Or Bachelorette? Yeah, me neither.
Like, what reality do I watch?
What do you watch? And it can also be
press briefings.
What'd she say?
She said press briefings.
That is a great answer.
Can I be on the coronavirus task force? That's my reality show.
Yeah. No shit. Good answer. Good answer.
I was going to say Real World Road Rules Challenge. I feel like that was always.
Bring that back. I mean, they probably have brought it back, but it's also like that will never be what it was at that time because it was one of the first and we were getting to. I can't even. I think Hawaii was the last season I watched.
I don't even remember what the last season I watched. I only remember like the first five that I watched.
So good.
It was like so good.
Such a mess. I love
that Kevin B from New York is like a DJ on Sirius XM.
Yeah. Yeah. Really turned that into a career. All right. Your favorite documentary. And it could be one that you've seen during this time or one that you've just.
Yeah. So I don't know what this says about me that this just popped in my head, but Abducted in Plain Sight.
Fuck, I just watched that.
Right?
Oh, man.
That one. So the reason why it's my favorite, and I think if I would actually answer, I might go Wild Wild Country. But that was like, we had to pause it like an hour in and both look at each other like, is this really happened? Holy shit.
I know. Like, terrifying.
That was wild.
Yeah. There's no shortage of those types of stories on Netflix. And it's like, you can go down some serious. I just watched the, the guy that killed his wife and babies. What was it called? American Murder. No, it was.
I think it's in Connecticut.
Is it? Oh, man.
I have it on Netflix.
I mean, maybe you're these stories are just like unfathomable. All right. This was supposed to be a questionnaire full of comedic answers. Let's see. All right. Question three. An NBA player that you'd love to play one-on-one and then a WNBA player that you'd love to play one-on-one that present or past.
So ready?
Yeah.
Nate Robinson.
Love that answer.
Because I actually played pickup with him like kind of once. I was working out. We needed an extra guy just to like go up and down. It wasn't like real pickup. And he was like joking around. He was serious, but he was like playing lefty and he wasn't like going super hard. And his not going super hard, I was like, it's the most athletic person I've ever been around in real life ever.
Jesus Christ. Freaking nature, huh?
Yeah. Like I would love to just experience that speed and like, oh man, it was off. It was crazy. I walked away like. Jesus Christ. Like,
and that jumping ability. I mean, I remember I would watch him at UW. I think he had a block one game where he blocked a guy dunking. And I mean, I was like, it was incredible. And then it also made me just feel so bad about my athletic abilities where I'm like, I've got 4 inches on this guy and there's no way in hell I'm touching that rim. All right. Good answer. All right. WNBA player, past or present.
I'm like, I don't care. I already played them all.
Good answer. All right. If when you woke up and a song would start playing, that would be the soundtrack for Sue Bird's day. What would that song be?
Man.
Good question.
WAP? No.
Yes. We're not accepting a different answer. Moving on. You're not going to top that. All right. What's more fun, winning your fourth title or leaving the bubble and knowing you could go to the Cheesecake Factory?
Oh, I do love a, 90-page menu. We're going to go with winning a championship.
Yeah, also a good answer. That is correct. All right, we're going to close this out with guess the quote. I know you've had some pretty incredible quotes over the years. I'm also a big quote guy. One of your quotes that I don't know if you remember saying it, but I think it's a pretty stellar piece of verbiage and something that is very simple in the way it's said, but I think holds a lot of value. And you said, be kind, be nice to yourself. You miss a shot, it's okay. Do you remember saying that?
Yeah, kind of.
But yeah.
I feel like I've said it a lot.
Well, I think that that is a great quote because I think in the context of all that, what was probably also being said was like, you know, you make a mistake, you move on, you do it again. I mean, yeah. Chumbawamba probably said it better. You get knocked down, you get up again. But I think what you were saying in that is a very pertinent thing that everybody should hold on to. Do you feel like you apply that to your own day to day?
I mean, not well enough, but I try.
Yes. I love that. Yeah. I mean, who really, it's so much easier to say the great quote than to actually uphold it.
Yeah, no, I do try though. I do remind myself of it. Like, you can be nice to yourself sometimes.
Oh man, my mom used to say I used to miss shots in games and just, you know, towards the end of my high school career when I started to really just, you know, become a better shooter, I'd have games where I'd have 25 points, but I'd miss two shots that were like, you know, could have been potential game swinging shots.
Like,
and that's
could have had 30. Oh,
hilarious. Yeah. No, well, that's just all I would think about. Yeah, for sure. The stats a little bit. But there was a girl that I wanted to date that was like, I'm only dating you if you get 30 a game. And I was like, that matters. all right. So here's some quotes I'm going to read, and then I'm going to give you three potential options of who said that quote. And you got to guess. First one is, if you do what you've always done, you'll get what you've always gotten. Who said that? Gino Auriemma, Cher, or Tony Robbins?
Gino Auriemma.
Tony Robbins.
Oh.
But it does sound like a Gino Auriemma quote.
God. Like Tony Robbins in real life or in Shallow Hal? Big fan of Man, Shallow Hal.
Great movie.
What are your banana hands? That's the best part.
Oh my God.
Dang, that's, Tony Robbins. I hope Coach Auriemma doesn't hear this.
Does he
Tony Robbins, right?
Did he have a lot of great quotes over the years? He seems like he was just a quote machine.
Can I give a good one real fast?
Please.
Okay. Man, probably not going to love that I'm saying this publicly. But so remember when those WWJD bracelets were really popular?
Yes.
So I actually wasn't there for this, but it's like told around the world in the UConn family. So it was the Final Four. It's like a really intense moment. Back and forth, close game. Team calls a timeout. Everyone comes in the huddle. Everyone's waiting for him to talk. And he looks over at, you know, one of the girls wearing the bracelets. And he goes, you want to know what Jesus would do? He'd fucking rebound and run.
Oh, my God.
I mean, top three. He's had some good ones. Another girl, like, she came down. She was all wild. He was like, stopped practice. He was like, you know, sometimes you're Michael Jordan. And sometimes you're Michael Jackson. Because she literally came down and would be like, whoo, like she was like wild with it. Sometimes Michael Jordan. Sometimes Michael Jackson. Sometimes he had another sometimes one. It was sometimes you're Oscar Robertson. Sometimes you're Oscar Wiener. Like he had some good ones.
Dude. And when you say shit like that, that's kind of funny in the moment, but you're not saying it to be funny and you're super serious. It's so tough as a player to not be like,
So hard not to laugh. Yeah. So hard not to laugh.
Did he just say you're not a hot dog? All right, cool. That's great. Who said this quote? I might talk about killing people, but that doesn't mean I do it. Who said that? Brittany Griner, Oprah, or Eminem?
Eminem.
Yeah, that's right.
I hope.
Yeah, you're right. All right, last one. Robert Pattinson should not take back Kristen Stewart. She cheated on him like a dog and will do it again. Just watch. He can do much better. Who said that? Tyra Banks, Diana Taurasi, or Donald J. Trump?
Oh, my God. I think Trump.
Yeah. Which is fucking bonkers. Tweeted that. Oh
my God.
Yeah, I wish that was his worst tweet.
Twilight the other day.
You did?
Yeah.
Real quick, Twilight.
Okay, go ahead.
Wait, are you a big Twilight fan?
I mean, I read the books. I don't know what that means, but
that means you're a fan. So when The Heat came out, the first movie I'm ever in, they were starting to play the trailer apparently in Twilight, the movie. So my buddy's like, we should go. He's like, don't you want to go see the trailer? And I was like, yeah, that'd be cool. So we bought tickets to go see Twilight. This was like 2013. And yeah. Twilight was still very big. I don't know what movie this was, the third or fourth. How many are there?
Four. Wait. Yeah, four.
So 2013, whatever it was, this was one that
they broke down the last book and made it two movies. I was like, come on.
So this is one where what's his name? Young, what's Jacob fucking Jacob. Abs? What's his name?
Jacob.
He's a wolf.
Yeah, he's a wolf.
He's a wolf. And because I remember it was my buddy and his girl, and during the movie, like the kids, by the way, it was full of adolescent teens that were diehard and their moms and gals that were just like obsessed with vampires and had weird vampire fantasies and all that. So it's just full of everybody. And I think though, my buddy and I were the only dudes in the theater. No joke. This is at the ArcLight in Hollywood, and things are happening and everyone's, by the way, cheering for the names. Robert Pattinson comes on, they go crazy. The wolf kid, they go crazy. Kristen,
you stayed for the movie.
What's that?
So you stayed for the movie.
Oh yeah. So the trailer they didn't play the trailer that had me in it. So I'm sitting there so bummed. And then we're going to leave. And my buddy's girl's like, I want to see the movie. And we're like, and I was like, I've never seen any of it. So I was like, let's stay from it. So everyone's going nuts for the names. And then things would happen and everyone's reacting like in unison, like when something would happen. And I was like, what just happened? She goes, she's in love with Robert Pattinson, but she has a baby with him. I go, so she has a wolf baby? She goes, no, what are you talking about? I go, what are you talking about? This is not normal.
So that was Megan when we were watching the other day. I was like, listen, her dad doesn't know that she's going to be a vampire, but she's dying right now. But she's only dying. They can't wait because the baby has to grow. I mean, I must have said insane.
Fuck that. I was like, I'm not going to be.
How do you know that's happening? I was like, well, some of them have special powers. Don't worry about it.
I was like, I'm not going to be made to feel stupid because I don't understand this plot. But it was so much to absorb. Nieces are obsessed with it, too. By the way, is there anything you would, because my niece is at a point right now, and then we'll wrap this up. She's 11. Hoops is still a part of, she loves to play. I think she's definitely in a place where she's like, I don't know if I'm going to make this something super a part of my world. What would you say to kids that are playing basketball right now? Like, I know that you get hit up all the time and you're so good with all that, but is there something that you have that you always say or that you think about you at that stage?
Yeah. So the first thing that I say, how old is your niece?
11.
Oh, it's like, have fun.
Yeah. Okay.
Have fun. Like, if you're lucky enough for this to be any kind of anything serious, whether it's like you're on varsity or you go to college or shit, you become a professional and you get paid to do it. Like, it'll be a job then. Like, don't make it a job now. Like, don't have fun with it. And to me, like, what you learn from sports has nothing to do with the actual sport. So it's like so worth it. It's like, this is not something your niece is going to want to hear, but like in terms of the people around her to encourage her, it's like, you're staying active, you're learning teamwork, like all these important things that will help you down the line anyways. But yeah, have fun with it. Like, enjoy it. Don't make it like you're serious. Megan, actually, the one thing she says is like, she tells people of that age, like, watch sports, like make sure you're watching it.
Yeah.
So you can learn from that.
Yes. That's a great call.
Yeah.
Now, Megan, what would you have told 10-year-old Adam when he scored on his own team and his friend's dad, who was a coach, said, what the fuck are you doing?
Any advice?
Yeah, that's what I did. That's because that was a wrap on that sport for me.
I'm 10. She goes, clearly I didn't know what I was doing because I'm 10.
Yeah, I wish I had enough social maturity. Is that a rare thing to score on your own team at that stage, or is that like very, is that done?
It doesn't happen a lot, but it's not like super rare. I've seen it in the WNBA. It happened at UConn too.
Really? That's bonkers.
Yeah, Swin Cash did it and Lauren Jackson did it.
Whoa.
Lauren's, I was like, no.
Oh, it's always slow-mo.
Out loud, what are you doing?
Yeah.
It was on a free throw. Both of them were on free throws. So, like, you know, you're standing there. You're not, like, you catch. No, like, why? Both of them, though. I was like, why'd you think it was so easy? There's a reason it was that easy.
Yeah. This has been great. Thanks for making time.
Yeah.
I love that you make time. It's really
this always is just so the best. Fun.
It is fun, right? I mean, that's why I was like so hesitant to bug you, but I was like, but I feel like it's just not a normal interview, so you're gonna, it's not a bugger. Did you think it was cool when Russ was wearing your jersey at his press conference?
Yeah.
Please tell me you geeked out at that.
No, that was dope.
Yeah. Well, not to one up Russ, but I have already told my fiance Amanda that I will be wearing that State Bird shirt at our wedding.
I'll get you a jersey too.
Did you see? That'd be dope. Did you see that shirt? How dope is that?
It's hilarious. I think it's a play on the Larry Bird one. Have you ever seen the Larry Bird has like an OG.
Fuck that. Fuck that. There's a new bird in town.
The younger one.
Yeah. All right. Well, you guys have a good weekend.
When do you get out?
I get out on Saturday at, I think they said 5:30 in the morning. So it's Wednesday here right now.
Yeah.
At 9 a.m. And so I get out on Saturday, but then I don't shoot for another 10 days.
Oh, really?
The schedule's just getting so mixed and matched. And
are you in Melbourne, Sydney?
Brisbane.
Oh, Brisbane.
So I'm going to go to, there's like a Steve Irwin sanctuary. So I can go kick it with some koalas, feed some roos. I guess go to a bar and go to a restaurant, go to the gym that's actually outside. Well, and
normal life there.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Oh yeah. They are
doing amazing.
I mean, Melissa McCarthy's been down here doing a movie for like 4 months and she's like, I might not go back. She's like, it's normal and awesome. And they're shooting way more stuff down here now because of that. Because originally we were supposed to be in Atlanta, but things were kind of still not figured out when this got going. So a lot of it's an NBC TV show.
Oh.
So it's about The Rock's life. It's called Young Rock.
Wait. Oh, like The Rock, the wrestler?
Yes.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. You didn't see him post my stand-up on his Instagram?
No. I'll go.
Oh, yeah. Up. Oh, we're like full-on buds. It's fucking bonkers.
Congrats.
Yeah. So it's an NBC series. I can't see how it won't go the distance because his stories. I'm here for a month, but there are people, but that's just for this first season. The character I'm playing is a very prominent part of his story and wrestling career. But so later seasons, I'll be all over it if it continues, which I'm like, how do you not do?
Yeah.
And the story is just crazy. I mean, his dad being a wrestler and then going to University of Miami to play football and then getting into wrestling. And then, I mean, it's really, and it's cool. And the family's a big part of it. So we'll see, but there's people that are here for a while. But I'll be back to Seattle over Thanksgiving. If it's chilled out at some point,
I think we'll be there so we can grab a,
let's do a social. Let's do it. Yeah.
Okay. Do it.
Okay, cool. Good to see you, Sue. Thanks for doing this. I love
you. Have fun there.
Thank you.
Hey, man.
Talk to you soon. See you guys.
Thierry Henry is Betway's sports ambassador. And for all new customers, bet £10 and get £40 in free bets. Download the Betway app today. 18 plus, T&Cs apply. Bet the responsible way. Gamblerware.org.